One arrest and one caution for disorderly behaviour. That is the response from the police to trouble in the Holy Land area during Freshers' Week. Another 100 young people have been spoken to, but the question once again this morning is that enough? The problem has been going on for years and a solution seems to be as far away as ever. We'll speak in a few minutes to a spokesman from the University of Ulster, but we wanted to find out what young people think of trouble in the Holy Land area. So Nolan Show reporter Nicola Weir has been to have a chat with some of them at a Freshers event at the Limelight in Belfast.
The neighbours obviously know what they're getting themselves into because they are students and they have their reputation. So
you think it's the people that live there, it's their problem?
Well, yeah.
There is a bad reputation because a lot of people go too far and they're all like, oh, students, it's their first week at uni, let's go mad. And actually on Monday night, after the first proper night of freshers, the town was a state. So that is a problem, and especially with like all the bad reputations in the Holy Land with St Patrick's Day, they do need to calm themselves down a wee bit. But then again, they should be allowed to have a bit of fun.
I think it's actually very harsh because students are absolute legends, and
they're not acting like legends.
It's just good crack, like, you know.
And have you been drinking all week?
Absolutely, every day. Why would you miss it? It's 1 week, like, just if you can't drink every day, then you just stay at home.
What happens if the university comes down and throws you out?
I don't even go to university, so.
So you just get involved even though you're not a student?
I just took a whole day off work.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even a student.
Are any of you students?
He's a student, actually, yeah.
You're a student?
Yeah.
So are these your mates?
Yeah, it's actually my
So friend. They've come down to join you in Freshers' Week even though they're not students?
Yeah, it was their idea to come on.
Do you think they're adding to the bad rap that students get even though they're not students?
I don't know. I don't think it really is that bad a reputation.
You don't think they've got a bad reputation? Have you listened to the news this week?
I think it's a certain thing you have to expect if you're living in a student area, that the students aren't going to be noisy. It's just something you have to accept.
And do you think it is a case that the university should get involved and throw students out who are habitually doing it? Or do you think that that's just going overboard?
I think that's maybe going overboard, like ruining their whole education for it. Because they don't mean any harm. They're just having a good time.
It's 1 week, you get over and done with. And it's all around the uni, so I don't think it's too much of a disturbance.
Do you not think it's very unfair that, you know, residents have to put up with that?
Not really, because they have to put up with the 12th. That's a Paddy's Day as well. It's just another thing on the calendar.
With me in studio, Duncan Morrow, Director of Community Engagement at the Ulster University. Another year, Duncan, and this problem seems to just continually repeat like one big roundabout, and we never really seem to make progress.
Well, this is obviously an issue which the universities take extremely seriously. And it is very disappointing, of course, that this has happened for another year, but it emphasises, I suppose, we really do need a full interagency approach if we're going to make any change here. There are a lot of things we need to start thinking about, and obviously the residents at this point are very upset about it. So we are concerned certainly to make sure that it's taken seriously, it's dealt with, and hopefully that this changes.
Well, we have heard this year in, year out. In fact, I think we had the exact same conversation, not with yourself, last year on this very programme, and once again 2016, and it's still a problem. So what are the universities, obviously you're talking from Ulster University, but what progress or what steps are being put into place?
Well, we're on the ground all the time. We have staff who are dedicated to working with the residents and have very close working relationships with all of the partnerships. We last year fined over 200 or disciplined over 200 students in different ways.
Did you let it slip there?
No, discipline? No. Fines, suspensions, also advice in some cases, but there are a whole range of things. I can't tell you exactly the numbers of each one, but over 200 people disciplined.
Can you tell
year.
Us what kind of a fine you might get? One of those 200.
It absolutely varies depending on the issue. Of course, you have to hear the evidence in each case, but they're serious and significant fines. That's
yes,
all I can tell you.
Significant fines. Where would the money from those fines actually end up?
Oh, it's in a charitable fund, which then is distributed. But let's be very clear about this. The university takes this very seriously, and over the years we've, in fact, over the last few years, doubled the number of disciplinary offences we've taken over the years. So this has been a very serious matter.
In terms of doubling, is that because the problem has got worse or because you're taking more action?
Probably a mixture of the two, okay. But I don't think it is that the problem has necessarily got worse. I think that we have, over years, become extremely serious about this. And the point that you made at the beginning, which is that it's happening regularly, and we absolutely recognise that when it becomes regular, then, as some of the people in your report were saying, then people who are not students start to come in on this, and the university starts to take a reputation for things which are nothing to do with the university. And I think that's a really important point here, because you know something, universities are not... The students, first of all, are not the only people who are there.
Yes, as we heard on that tape from Nicola, there's quite a good chunk of people that go for this party that lasts for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Second of all, as we know in houses, the houses are adults taking rented houses, and not all the students are either university students at all, or may come from different higher education institutions, or may be unemployed and just living there. So universities obviously can't intervene in a house when there's all that kind of activity and different people renting the house. So we have a situation which is, it's obviously affecting the reputation of students, but at the same time, universities don't have all of the authority to act here. So we need to work in partnership with all of our partners here.
Of course.
And I think that's a critical issue for
but
us.
In terms of that action that you say you have taken, 200 over the last year, did you say?
Yep.
So any expulsions in there?
There are, I don't think last year there was any expulsions, but there were suspensions and there were fines, and all of these go on the record of the student.
Because what some people will say is, if you don't start cracking down really hard, and I don't think it goes much further than saying, right, you're out, you're expelled, that's it, get out. And that is a message then sent out. Obviously, once again, it's from within your university, but to the students that they will not get away with this, and there's a really extreme consequence if they think this is acceptable.
To be honest with you, we have to make the punishment fit the crime, and we will. So where there are serious issues, many students actually withdraw before we get to the point of actually having to make those decisions, because that is the nature of the beast. But I can't go into individual cases here, because each case is, of course, individual and has to be heard.
Of course, but you could give us some figures in terms of how many people, say, for example, have been suspended and how long they were for.
If we do, we'll end up in identifying individuals, and that would be a problem. But what I can tell you is, very definitely, we take this very seriously. We spend a lot of time at it. We are absolutely consistent.
So why
and we
is
are
it still
committed
a problem?
To continuing with it? Well, because actually, unless it's dealt with at as an interagency issue, it will remain a problem. For example, I mean, if the issue is abuse, sectarian or racist abuse, or yes. even at the very worst, criminal damage or assault, those are clearly policing matters. Those have to be dealt with by the police. The university will, of course, react once we know that somebody who is involved has been accused of those things or has been found guilty of those things. But nevertheless, those must be policing matters. Then, for example, on-street drinking. There are bylaws in Belfast, and those are the responsibility.
Some will say, Duncan, this sounds like you pushing the responsibility onto the police, and that if we look back at the students, the people that are there because they're at your university.
But I've told you they're not students, and they're not all ours. I certainly can't go onto this. So what do you expect me to do?
But let's talk about the students. I don't expect you to talk about people that are not students.
As soon as we know they are students, and as soon as those issues are referred to us, I've said to you, we deal with those in a full disciplinary manner. That is clear.
Is there an issue, Duncan, when
it comes to... But you asked me, how do we stop it?
Yes.
And I'm saying to you, if it's about assault, that must be, or about abuse, those are serious police matters and they must be dealt with. If it's about on-street drinking, it has to be dealt with by the relevant authority, and that must be the power of the bylaws, which is Belfast City Council. If it is about noise abatement, then there must be an authority in tenancy agreements about antisocial behaviour. The landlords need all to be registered and need to be able to enforce that. But also, noise abatement is something which, as far as I understand it, belongs to public agencies. That needs to be dealt with. If it is about litter, then we must be able to find ways which and mess which allow that cost, that clean up to be dealt with. But yes. those are all things which
it's a wide
we will certainly
issue,
work with people.
We're going to hear from Inspector Jamie Hughes in just a second. But before we do that, I wanted to ask, is there an issue with the culture that surrounds Freshers Week? Because it is just seen for many, whether you're a student or outside, as a big binge up, a big drinking session where, you know, it's nothing really to do with education. It's just the reins are off. You're out of home and you can do what you want. Do we need to tackle that?
We certainly are tackling that. We're working with schools all through the years to try to do that. And it doesn't have to be this way. That doesn't mean we say to people you shouldn't have fun. But it does mean to say that, as everywhere, there are limits. And I think one of the things we have to get across here is this language of a student area. These are not student areas. These are areas with students. And actually, the law in relation to antisocial behaviour, the law in relation to noise and alcohol applies. And these are not university campuses where we have an independent right to intervene. These are places where people take private lets, and students are, of course, adults. And we very much promote a culture of learning, a culture of integration of our students. And in fact, over the last week, many of our inductions have all been about engaging students in a much more positive idea.
And not just about booze and alcohol. Well,
absolutely
because
not.
The reason I asked, we have been to a few of the different universities, including Belfast Met, of course. And what they said was their Freshers Week, which was last week, was actually alcohol free. Now, I know there's a different demographic when it comes to the students, if you know, you're underage, etc. Is that something that the Ulster University would consider for their Freshers Week? Take out the booze, perhaps you take a bit of the...
Ulster University provides absolutely no booze in relation to this. None of the drink that's taken in the Holy Land is taken on the premises or under the auspices of Ulster University. And all I can say to you is that we absolutely support methods to look at how we control the supply of alcohol and how we don't have, for example, long happy hours, how we don't have, we have control on the amount of drink that people have. But these are difficult questions because they obviously, if you apply them to students, they apply to everybody. So they must be considered in the round. But we are strongly in favour of looking at how we control the supply of alcohol.
OK, stay with me for just a second, Duncan. Nicola Weir has been speaking to Inspector Jamie Hughes at Lisburn Road Police Station before he headed out on his patrol.
There's been arrests, there's been many for disorderly behaviour, I think it was attempted criminal damage. There's been others who've been sort of dealt with by fixed penalty notices for disorderly behaviour, on street drinking, been reported for that. Public urination. So those are the main offences that we've come across.
Do you have any figures for how many arrests have been made and how many maybe fixed penalty notices you have given out?
So there's been one arrest for disorderly behaviour, attempted criminal damage, assault police, one caution for disorderly behaviour, three prosecutions for on-street drinking, four fixed penalty tickets for a... combination of different offences around disorderly behaviour, public urination, that sort of thing.
Well, the Stephen Nolan Show obviously has been covering this quite extensively over the last couple of days, and a lot of people have been ringing in, mm-hmm. and you've given me sort of the figures about arrests and cautions. People might say that's very little for the number of people who are complaining about what's happening.
It's not just about the number of people who are complaining, it's about what they're complaining about and the level of offences. A lot of the issues around there is this culmination of low-level antisocial behaviour. So people coming back at 3 or 4 in the morning, jumping out of taxis, slamming doors, putting the music up, going out in the street. You know, and those aren't offences that we would be arresting people for. We will go down and we will deal with their behaviour. They'll be warned. We'll take their details. If there's criminal offences, then they'll be dealt with for those. If it's offences or behaviour which falls below that threshold, then we will then take their details. If they're students, we'll pass them on to the university for further sort of action by Queen's University or by the UUJ. We have an agreement in place with all of those colleges that they will take further action from police reports. Again, if it's noise complaints, that's something which the council will take a lead with, noisy parties, so we'll refer them through the council. They'll come out and they'll serve notices on them about their behaviour in terms of noisy parties. We'll also liaise with the landlords and make them aware that we've had problems at certain addresses, for them then to follow up in through their tenancy terms and residence terms.
You've made one arrest, and we have had people phoning in saying they've had their windscreens kicked in, they've had their wing mirrors kicked in, there's been criminal damage, there's been fighting out in the street, and one arrest.
Yeah, What I would say is that those aren't the reports that we've been receiving. If we receive reports, you know, of people damaging vehicles, then they'll be dealt with and they'll be arrested for those. If we receive reports of people being violent in the street, then they'll be arrested and dealt with for that. Those aren't the incidents that we've, you know, had reports since Sunday night. It's been around noisy parties, noise in the street, you know, and that sort of behaviour. And that's what the officers have witnessed on the ground. So they have to deal with it proportionately, but we don't take a softly approach.
How many young people have you spoken to?
The police have spoken to over 100 young people in the area.
And some people might say, well, you've spoken to them, big deal.
Yeah, but there's a follow-up on, you know, from that, and there's consequences involved in it. If we speak with them and they're acting disorderly behaviour, you know, in a manner, there's a good chance they'll be given a ticket for that, and then that will be a, you know, a record which they will then sort of have to live with.
What would be the threshold for an arrest?
Obviously, any sort of serious criminal offence, you know, people are going to be arrested for. You know, the chances are they will be arrested for those. Criminal damage, disorderly behaviour, if, you know, on speaking to them, you know, they don't desist their behaviour, if they carry on, then, you know, they will probably, you know, almost certainly be arrested for that. But that's not what we've seen on the ground. What we've seen on the ground is, as soon as, you know, the police are speaking with people, you know, they're stopping their behaviour, they're calming down, they're giving us their details, and then we're dealing, you know, we're dealing with them appropriately, you know, from there.
There you go. That's our reporter, Nicola Weir, there. Duncan, just your reaction to what you've heard there, first of all.
Well, I think he reflected the situation as we see it. I mean, clearly what we need to ensure is that, for example, where people see incidents of criminal damage, that those are reported. So we certainly want to see that action taken. I think where there are, I think one of the things we might be able to do is find a way to make the reporting of these things quicker and easier so that people can track them. But as the police say, you know, slamming a taxi door is very, very difficult for residents, but it's not actually necessarily a criminal offence, and certainly is a difficult issue. So we have to deal with that in terms of education, in terms of trying to improve this over time. And all of these things are, we take this very seriously. I have to say this. I mean, I don't want to be in the studio trying to justify what, in the end of the day, it's a really important element for the future of Belfast, young people and students.
Yeah, I want to bring you a tweet that's been sent in. This is from Malik Maskey. Now, he was formerly the MLA for the South Belfast area from Sinn Féin. He says, Duncan Morrow on the Nolan Show defending an abysmal failure by the universities over many years to get to grips with Holy Lands and the problems in the area. Your thoughts on that?
Well, of course, obviously, I think that he's incorrect in that. I think the universities have tried extremely hard. I mean, we have people on the ground every night. As I say, we have a permanent presence and we're constantly.
But it's still a problem.
Of course, and a part of that is a question of a planning regulation, which in Belfast probably allowed too many HMOs. We'd like to, if you're looking at long term solutions, you're looking at ensuring that the number of people who live in houses of multiple occupancy isn't concentrated in a single area.
Yeah.
We need good planning laws.
This
but
is the
multi-agency no
thing
laws,
you talked about, where it brings in the council, all the universities,
the landlords. And I think that if we're serious about this, then that is what it's going to require.
Yeah. An abysmal failure, he says. That's quite targeted. That's quite damning.
Well, of course, it would be important to hear if people have specific things they think they want us to do. My strong view is that the universities have undertaken everything that's in our command to do, which is that we've constantly raised the issue. We've put staff on the ground.
No, but raising the issue, don't.
No, we've put staff on the ground.
Resolution.
We've dealt with it. Yes. And what I'm saying is, if you want resolution, you have to have proper action as regards the any criminal issues, obviously. You have to have noise abatement procedures. You have to have procedures around on-street drinking. And for example, wardens were withdrawn from the Holy Lands. They previously were there and previously paid for by the City Council. CCTV is not in operation. All of these things would be helpful additions. Even they aren't going to solve it though. What we have is a series of interagency approaches. And we are absolutely there. We've been on the Strategic Housing Group. We're on the Learning City Group. We are trying to ensure that everybody takes the actions that could be taken. And we certainly are not complacent at all, given what's happened this week.
OK, Duncan, just stay there for a few minutes for us, if you can. 030 30 80 55 55 on the phones. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Vinny, my daughter and her wee child spent almost 5 years on a waiting list for a house. And she got a house in the university area in Rugby Avenue. And we had, and the family had to decorate the thing. We spent over £1,800 getting the wee house nice for her. She lasted just over a year.
Why?
The child couldn't sleep. She works every day. She was falling asleep and works. She couldn't get to sleep at night. She lasted just over a year with the antics of these students. Now, I appreciate, if you don't mind, I would like to ask Duncan Morrow a wee question.
Go ahead, he's listening.
I know he's not to blame for everything.
No, he's not.
No, and I appreciate that. I know he can't control everything.
Yes, but and to be fair to Duncan and the Ulster University, they have fronted up. They've come on the programme today.
Fair enough. And unlike others, fair play. But here's the simple question I would like to ask him. He was saying that he was dishing out fines left, right and centre to students. I suggest to him that that's not going to make any difference. If a student is found in the Holy Lands and he's done wrong or he or she has done wrong, how many of them have actually been expelled from the university? Why is there a reluctance to make an example of a student? Is it because they're the educational elite? Why is there a reluctance to do that? Because I can tell you, if you start expelling students for being involved in antisocial behaviour, that's the only way you're going to stop this carry on.
Duncan?
University is committed to investigating every case, and what I absolutely can't commit to, and it would be wrong for me to commit to, is to say that because there's a noise problem in a house one night that somebody loses their entire education.
I know,
career.
But I think what Jerry is trying to say as well is this is a problem that's gone on for some time.
But, and I need to get to the end of it, where there is serious criminal activity, of course that would come to the university and every option would be considered. But the issue, and we have done, what I'm saying to you is where we have had these issues drawn to our attention, we certainly have acted, we're committed to act, and we will continue to act. That's not the issue. I suppose what I'm responding to you is this is, I of course hear what the residents are saying. I speak to them regularly. I'm in contact with this issue and I'm fully aware of how difficult it is to live sometimes in the middle of this noise and alcohol and so on. And what we're suggesting is if we're going to be practical about this, we need to have a plan which is more than just one person. Ulster University, which only has some students in a situation where not all the students are there.
Of course, but Jerry's saying make an example of people, expel somebody if it's 1, 2, 3 people because of what they've done, and then it's a deterrent.
If the punishment fits the crime, that would be done.
So you're saying that nobody that the university has identified really qualifies being expelled in terms of what they've done?
Well, I have to say I haven't been on any of the hearings myself, so I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that I know that the staff are fully dedicated to ensuring, and really, Jerry, you just have to believe me on this, that everything is heard and that an appropriate discipline is felt. And furthermore, to be honest with you, if it does go past the point of criminal behaviour, if it does go past the point of regular antisocial behaviour, then these become policing matters, and they are actually not just a question of expulsion from the university. These are long-term records which affect people's career, and we've emphasised that in our messaging all the time, that this is not just a question of a bad day. This is a question of potentially having an impact on your own career, on the reputation of the institution.
Well, that's a fair point, Jerry. What do you think of that in terms of one mad night in the Holy Lands, one mad night and you do something that you get in trouble and you could really damage the rest of your educational career and maybe even your job prospects in the future?
Isn't that awful? What about the people that are living in the area week in and week out and month out and month out? What about them? What about their rights?
Do you think are there too many people in that area, Jerry, in terms of too many students? Should we try and dilute them and spread them across the city?
100%. And fair play to Duncan Morrow, and he's given me an honest answer, and fair play to him. But one last wee thing I want to ask them. Why not set yourself apart, Duncan? Why not say, as a condition of joining this university, you sign a pledge that if you are involved in this kind of activity, no questions, you'll be expelled. And I can tell you, if you have no tolerance of attitude towards it, that is the only way. Finney knocked the nail on the head. There is no deterrent. And once there's a deterrent, That is the only thing that will stop these students.
Tongan?
Where we agree is that we do believe that there needs to be a clear enforcement mechanism. Where we probably have to think about this is that there are rights. These are adults at 18. Take, for example, in this house, there's somebody who works for the BBC. Is the BBC going to sack somebody who gets done for noise abatement? These are complicated questions. And I suppose all I would say to you is I would like to have a conversation about what is an appropriate discipline. We're certainly open to that, and we're very much concerned to ensure that this problem is addressed. We're not trying to hide behind anything here. We're simply saying that actually, if this is to be dealt with, we have to understand what the real problem is, and we'll need a lot of different agencies to pull behind this to make this work.
Duncan, I know you are a bit tight for time this morning, and thank you very much for coming on the programme. That's Duncan Morrow from the University of Ulster. I think as well, you know, we've heard from Alec Maskey from Sinn Féin, but there is a question there in terms of our politicians. Do our politicians need to do more? We hear about this multi-agency group, includes councillors, landlords, etc. And we need to tie them all together, but perhaps the politicians could take the lead on that. 030 30 80 55 55. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Benny. Well, I'm just listening to you there and quite angry too, because firstly, the manners of these people begin at home. When they get out then and have no manners, how can they expect to have manners on the street?
You blame the parents.
But well, a bit now. But what I think is that, I mean, I can't believe that they've started already and they're only started. They're only in a week.
But this is
whatever.
How it works, John. Every year, it's when they come up and they start there the first week before they get into their courses.
Well, I think that their tutors and the people above should have them sussed out in no time at all. And I would give them three chances, and then out in their ear they would go and home and let the parents deal with them, let them do what they like around their parents' door and keep away from other people's door. I think it's disgraceful that people can't get people who have lived there maybe for 20 and 30 years being upset by all that rubbish.
What about, John, the non-students? You heard in that clip earlier from Nicola outside the limelight. There's people that are coming to Belfast, going to these areas, and they are not at university. They're not studying at all.
They belong to them up in the area, and they're inviting them. They're giving them an invitation. I think it's just, and any of those people that are caught there too should be run into prison, should be put in for a couple of nights down in Donaghadee or wherever.
John, are you serious though? You can't, are you suggesting that you put people in prison if they are done? Say, for example, if it's a noise issue.
Yeah.
You'd scoop them all up and put them in prison.
Well, I would, because, I mean, sometimes when people are blocked, they don't know what they're doing.
Well, that's true. There is an issue with alcohol as well.
The next morning when they're waking up, maybe, or the next morning after that, and discover where they are, they'll soon pull themselves together and not go back there again.
Would you give them all a criminal record?
Well, yes, I would, in a sense, because there's people have got criminal records for far, far less. So there is. But I think it's disgraceful how they disturb other people. I mean, if I went out on the street and, I mean, they would put me in and that would be a criminal record on me. You know what I mean? They should be getting a criminal record, yes. And another wee thing, Vinnie, too, the people up there and at the top of the house, they don't want to do these things, throw them out, because it's money. It involves money too, you know.
This is it. All right, John, thank you very much for your call. Okay. We've been talking, of course, about the issues around the Holy Lands area of Belfast. Each year when the students arrive, there seems to be problems. Queen's has said that Queen's has a strong and valued relation with the local community and residence groups and will continue to work closely with them. Queen's has a range of penalties in place for students who have been proven to have engaged in antisocial behaviour, and calls on all students to abide by the university's conduct regulations. Over the last 5 years, 50 students have been disciplined. It's quite interesting when you hear that contrast with what Duncan said. 200 from the University of Ulster have had some kind of discipline, whether it's fine, suspension or something along those lines. And Queen's, huge university, 50 students have been disciplined in the last 5 years. That goes on to say, by the university for acting outside of the university's off-campus conduct regulations. So the question is, it's interesting, I think, when you look at the contrast in those two numbers. Perhaps it is a different approach from the university in terms of that threshold you heard being mentioned earlier on as to what is antisocial and what then leads to a fine or some kind of retaliation from the university because of your behaviour.